in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we reference your presence in our midst. Thank you for a mighty supply of your Spirit. We declare that our hearts and mind are open to receive your word. Thank you, Father. We go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. The eyes of our understanding is flooded with light. We receive revelation, illumination. We receive enlightenment. We receive impartations. We receive empowerment. Thank you for transformations. Notable transformations. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Welcome to day 12, right? Glory to God. Like joke. Are you aware that we are rounding off the fast next week Sunday? Not this Sunday, the next one. Are you aware? So we don't have much days left. Glory to God. So please get serious. Hallelujah. Get serious. Glory to God. Welcome to day 12 of our 21 days avalanche of abundance fasting and prayer program. We'll be meeting daily. This is a stretching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A pastor said, it's a meeting every day for service for 21 days fasting. It is capital intensive. It's true. Money for fuel alone. Hallelujah. And it's not that we are collecting offering for these 21 days. Hallelujah. But we know a Jehovah Jireh. I say we know a Jehovah Jireh. There is a mighty supply. It's a season of mighty supply. It's abundance. Ravenous supply. Glory to God. All you need to do is just to avail yourself. Glory to God. I know it involves so many sacrifices, but it's necessary. I've told you, January is a month of investment. It's a month you sow seed. You sow all manner of seeds. You sow seeds of prayer, seeds of fasting, seeds of your words, your faith declaration, your confession based on the word of God, prophetic words that you speak. You sow seeds of God's word. These 21 days, you are listening to God's word. Let me tell you something. Do you know what is happening to you? This investment of listening to God's word, as in you are seeding yourself with God's word. Do you know the transformation that is happening to your life? You won't appreciate it now until you start seeing results and manifestation. Hallelujah. You are being seeded for mega success and greatness. We are making progress. Let me tell you, neighbor, we are making progress. As we sow to the Spirit, we are making progress. We've been on this teaching series, understanding and activating the prophetic. Glory to God. What a blessing it has been, even to me. You know, not just to you people listening, even to me. This series has been blessing me. It has been such a huge blessing to me. Yesterday, we looked at seven types of prophecy. Number one, we said confirmatory prophecy. That's confirmatory prophecy. Number two, creative prophecy. Number three, comforting prophecy. Number four, challenging prophecy. Number five, correctional prophecy. Number six, rebuking prophecy. And number what? Seven, edification prophecy. Glory to God. We also went ahead to use the story of Balaam as a case study to show you how a false prophet or a soothsayer can masquerade and counterfeit a true prophet of God. We saw it yesterday. Please get the messages, okay? Just get them from our Telegram channel from part 1 to 4. Yeah, part 1 to 4. Today will be part 5, right? Today, now, understanding and activating prophecy, part 5. Glory to God. I say glory to God. And today, we'll start looking at the keys to activating prophecies. How to activate prophecies from the realm of the spirit into physical manifestation. We'll start looking at how to materialize and maximize prophetic words spoken over your life. How do you move from prophecy to manifestation? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How do you move from prophecy to manifestation? 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. Hallelujah. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to what? According to the prophecies which went before on thee. Hallelujah. The keys to activating prophecies. How to materialize and maximize prophecies. Moving from prophecies to manifestation. It says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. It says, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. Take note of that. So, during the ordination of Timothy as a pastor, Paul, together with the elders, they laid hands on him, they prayed for him, and they declared prophetic words. They spoke prophetic words over the life of Timothy. So prophecies went ahead of him. And you need to understand that prophetic words spoken over your life are a system of supernatural advantage. Yes, they give you the supernatural advantage in life, in the race of destiny, in the journey of life. Prophetic words spoken over your life, they are a system of advantage. They give you the upper edge. Am I communicating? They give you the supernatural edge in life. Prophetic words. Listen. It's so important that you send prophetic words into your destiny. Let them go ahead of you. Prophetic words spoken over you, they can enter into your future before you get there. They can go and make the crooked places to become straight. They can enter into your destiny, enter into your future. They can clear the path, bulldoze barriers and opposition on your way. They can make the mountains and the hills to become low. They can melt mountains. They can fill every valley. They can prepare the way before you. Am I communicating? They are a serious system of advantage. Can you remember yesterday we saw how Balak, king of the Moabites, went and hired Balaam to curse them? Have you seen that? To use enchantment and incantation to cast a spell on them. You see, peradventure I will be able to prevail over them and defeat them. What was Balak, the king of the Moabite, what was he trying to do? He was trying to get a system of advantage. You need to understand. You see, his hiring of that machinery prophet called Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel, his aim was so that those curses, because Balaam was the best curser, he was well renowned. Anybody he blesses is blessed, anybody he curses is cursed. He was that popular. So they went and hired him. Now, Balak, the king of the Moabites, he wanted to gain supernatural advantage over the children of Israel. As in, he wants to secure the help of the realm of the spirit. That was why he said, come and cast a spell on them, to empower them to fail, for me to defeat them. Are you seeing this? It was a system of advantage he was trying to secure that will give him victory. Now, that is on the negative end. Now, come to prophecy. Are you getting this picture? Prophetic words spoken over you, they are not ordinary. They are a system of advantage. They give you the supernatural advantage in life. And your destiny is as strong as the weight of the prophetic words that is hovering over your head, that have been spoken over you. Because those things, they enter into your future and prepare the way. They make ready a glorious destiny for you. Am I communicating? They break barriers. They shatter limitations. They make the crooked places become straight. They break to pieces the gate of brass. They cut in asunder the bars of iron. Because prophetic words are prepackaged with omnipotent power. They carry the power of God. They are charged with divine energy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, this charge I commit unto the son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest what? War a good warfare. You see that? We say life is a battlefield. Life is a warfare, not a funfair. So he's trying to say that those prophecies that went before on thee, they can give you the advantage in life. Am I communicating? In fighting the good fight of faith and in winning the war of life, you can be supernaturally aided by those prophecies. They are a system of advantage. He said that thou by them. A translation says, use those prophecies as military weapons, military armament to fight well. Are you seeing this? So prophetic words are a part of the weapons of our warfare that we use to fight in spiritual warfare. They are weapons of war. Hallelujah. It says that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Next verse 19. It says holding faith. You see that? And then a good conscience, because faith always works with a good conscience. The good conscience part is talking of co-perception. It's talking of you paying attention to the leading of the Spirit that you are receiving in your heart. Am I communicating? You paying attention to divine leading. If you don't want a shipwreck in your faith walk, you must pay attention to the leading of the Spirit. Am I communicating? It's a holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith. What did they put away concerning faith? It's the good conscience part. That means they ignored, they neglected the good conscience part. They neglected the leading of the Spirit in their journey of faith, in their faith walk. And what was the result? They made a shipwreck. And shipwreck is an old Bible term for accident. So if you don't want accident in your faith journey, you must pay attention and heed. Take heed to what? The leading of the Spirit, which is co-perception, good conscience. Hallelujah. So, listen to this. The moment prophetic words are spoken, it is not only you, the person they prophesy to, that heard it. Listen. It's not only you that heard it. Angels heard it. God heard it. The Holy Spirit heard it. Demons too heard it. Satan heard it. Are you listening? They heard it. A lot of times, Satan doesn't know people's future until it is prophesied. The prophecy reveals it. Now, the moment Satan hears it or demons hear it, they go to work trying to frustrate it. They do everything within their power to ensure that those prophecies don't come to pass. Are you listening? Can you remember when God, do you know God was the one to prophesy the coming of Jesus? God was the first. And the person he prophesied it to was even the serpent. After the fall, Genesis 3:15, God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Are you seeing this? Give me that Genesis 3:15. God was speaking to the serpent, okay? I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, okay? And her seed. Glory to God. I say glory to God. And he said, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You see that? This was the first time God prophesied concerning the coming of Jesus. In this prophecy, that her seed, the seed of the woman, is talking of Jesus. Because throughout the Bible, even contemporary times and history, even till date, you don't call a human being a child. You don't call a child the seed of a woman. You call him the seed of a man. So this is an unusual expression. Because it is the man that donates the seed, the sperma. Am I communicating? Sperm. It's the man that donates the sperm, okay? So a child born into this world is always called the seed of the man. The woman carries it like the incubator. Are you seeing this? But here, God did not say, I will put enmity between you, your seed and his seed. He uses her seed. Strange expression. That's to tell you that this seed will not be the seed of a natural human being. It won't be the seed of a man. Are you seeing this? It won't be the seed of a man. That means sperm will not be involved in the birth of this baby. And who in history was not a product of sperm? Tell me. It was Jesus. It was the word spoken by the angel. That was the word of God. That was the seed, the supernatural seed that was implanted by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary. That was how Jesus was conceived. You see that? So God was the first to prophesy it. Do you know, the moment this prophecy came forth, Satan started fighting. He thought Abel was the seed. You now see why he moved Cain to kill Abel. He thought Abel was the seed. When prophecies are released, it is an invitation to spiritual warfare. That's why you should not go to sleep on prophecy. No. It's a call unto spiritual warfare. You war with them. You don't just wish them. You don't wish prophecies to fulfillment. You war with them. You partner with God. You have a serious part to play. You have a responsibility. Am I communicating? To see prophetic words fulfill in your life. Listen, prophetic words, prophecies, I mean genuine prophecies from God, they are authentic. They are a reality already in the realm of the spirit. But to see them in manifestation in the earth realm, it requires the partnership between God and man. Am I communicating? For every divine manifestation on earth, there must be human partnership, human cooperation, human collaboration. Are you seeing this? For every divine manifestation to occur on this side of eternity, it will require human partnership. Glory to God. You must partner with God. There is something you must do for you to see divine manifestation on this side of eternity. Glory to God. So you have a part to play. You have your own responsibility. Okay? So you war with prophecies, because there is an enemy and his kingdom that will do everything within their power to stop that prophetic word from coming to pass in your life. Even though it is the will of God, but for it to find expression in the earth realm, it will never be automatic. It will require your partnership. Am I communicating? So you don't wish prophecies into manifestation. You war with them. Okay? You don't wait. When I say wait, as in you wait, waiting for them to come to pass, doing nothing. As in you are sitting in idleness, doing nothing, you know, and expecting them to happen. You'll be surprised that Satan will delay them and delay them and delay them until you even deny them expression in the earth realm. So you must get to work. Tell your neighbor, get to work. What is that work? You partner with God to birth prophecies into manifestation. Your prophetic destiny can be delayed. It can even be denied expression in the earth realm if you don't understand how to partner with God to see them manifest on this side of eternity. This is the mystery behind demonic delays and satanic stagnation. That when people sit down, they do nothing. They are expecting God to do everything for them. God will not do for you what He has told you to do. Are you listening? The instructions that He gave you, He will not do it for you. He can give you grace, but you must be the one to do your part. Are you seeing this? The destinies, prophetic destinies of families, cities, nations can be delayed and even denied expression in the earth realm by demoniacal forces, demonic forces. If the said individual or family or city or nation does not actively, if they do not actively partner with God to bet those possibilities. So, how do I activate prophecies to fulfillment? Number one, faith. Write it in capital letter. Faith. Faith. This is the number one way to materialize and maximize prophetic words. If you want to flesh them out, you want to move prophecies from the realm of the spirit into this physical realm, the first key is faith. Write this down. The partnership of faith is necessary. The partnership of faith is necessary to materialize prophecies, God's promises, and to activate prophetic blessings. You Faith is the way to realize your prophetic destiny. Okay? The actualization or the realization of your prophetic destiny will always require faith. Am I communicating? The actualization or realization, or let me put it this way, the activation and actualization of prophecies demands faith. It demands the partnership of faith. We saw it in 1 Timothy 1:18, the one we read earlier. Glory to God. I say glory to God. It says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophet which went before on thee." Okay, prophecies have gone ahead of you. He said that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. You engage in warfare. Like I said, you war with prophecies to fulfillment. You don't wish for their fulfillment. You war with them. Am I communicating? And how do you engage in this war? He said, holding faith and a good conscience. Are you seeing this? So you fight the good fight of faith to materialize prophecies. Glory to God. I say you fight 1 Timothy 6:12. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said this. He says, fight the good fight of faith. He said, don't sit by in idleness, doing nothing and waiting to see prophecies fulfilled. You will see nothing. No. He said, wake up. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Unleash your faith. You must partner with God in faith. Hallelujah. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on that prophetic word and drag it from the realm of the spirit into this physical realm. How? By your faith. Listen, it is with the hand of faith that we receive prophetic words into fulfillment. As in, we receive them and drag them into manifestation. It's with the hand of faith. Glory to God. By faith, you import those possibilities, those prophetic possibilities in the spirit realm, you import them into this physical realm by your faith. Glory to God. The partnership of faith. So you must mix prophetic words with faith. Tell your neighbor, mix them with faith. Anytime prophetic words are spoken over your life, don't be passive. No. Mix it with faith. Open your heart. Receive it. Glory to God. Mix it. This is how to see performance. Give me Luke 1 verse 45. Watch this. Luke 1 45. Never doubt authentic prophetic words. Never doubt them. Don't doubt or try to rationalize prophetic words in unbelief. Don't doubt or try to rationalize prophetic words in unbelief, but believe them wholeheartedly. Become fully persuaded about them. Become fully persuaded in your heart and be completely convinced beyond every iota of doubt. Then boldly confess them. Nobody struggles to confess what they believe. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Am I communicating? Anything you truly believe, it will overflow and come out of your mouth. We will hear it in your words. So, after you have become fully persuaded about prophetic words and you are completely convinced, vocalize them. The next thing is to vocalize them. Boldly confess them. And then act on them accordingly. Proceed with corresponding action. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Look at this. Luke 1:45. He says, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance. If you want to see the performance of prophecies spoken over your life, prophetic words declared over your life by your man of God, he says, believe it. Blessed is she or he that believes, for there shall be a what? A performance of what? Those things which were told her from the Lord. Watch this. The things were told her from the Lord. But she needs to believe them. Even God cannot help you if you don't believe them. Are you seeing this? No matter how anointed a man of God, if he comes and releases prophecies from the Lord, if you don't believe them, it will never come to pass in your life. There will be no performance. Are you getting my point? It is the prophetic word that you truly believe that will be performed in your life. It will find instant. Listen, the performance of the prophetic word in terms of manifestation is at the instance of your faith. Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith launches you into a world of unlimited possibilities. All things, not some things. Am I communicating? If you don't believe the prophetic words God put in my mouth that I speak over your life, then God cannot help you through me. It's as simple as that. There can be no performance. Go and check. In every church, in every ministry, the people that enjoy so much miracles, the people that receive so much testimonies, are the ones that believe those prophetic words that their pastor or their man of God normally speak over their life. Their hearts are open. Not the ones that are doubting. Not the ones that are rationalizing and operating in unbelief. Man of God said, God, this week God will bless you. They are chopping chingam. In talking last week, nothing happened. We can talk another one. We don't hear that one tire. That's why in a lot of churches, new members usually have more testimonies than the old members. You know why? The old members have allowed over-familiarity. I told you that demon of over-familiarity is a demon you must keep overcoming every day. You have to keep renewing your mind. Am I communicating? The day you become too familiar with the prophet that God has set over your life is that very same day that you will stop receiving. Because over familiarity is a blocker of the anointing. Nothing flows. Jesus in his hometown, was it not over familiarity that affected the flow of unction? Am I communicating? Over familiarity will lead to offense. And then unbelief. It's a sequelae. It's like a sequence. They say, is this not Mary Pekin? What does he want to show us? The Bible says, they even say, are his brothers and sisters? That's to tell you that they are over familiar with him. They saw him. Jesus grew up in Nazareth. He was kutu 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 without pants. They saw him. Some of them said were the people that baited him. Say, this boy fine, oh, bring hot water, press his head, press him, press him, put more water. They were the people that baited him when he was small. So in their mind, they are still seeing Mary Pekin. They are not seeing a prophet sent to them. They received him as Mary Pekin. You know, Jesus said, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet reward. But if you receive him as a righteous man, you will receive righteous man reward. So the way you receive the anointed determines the reward you get. If you receive him as Mary Pekin, what will you get? Mary Pekin result. So you now see why they received Mary Pekin result. There are some people, honestly, I don't waste my time praying for. My wife is here. As well as some family member, I don't waste my time because I know that nothing will work except by the mercy of God. You understand? Because of over familiarity, that thing is a demon. Terrible. And usually, most of the times, family members are the last to believe in you. And they, what will make them believe in you is even testimony of outsiders that have been blessed by the grace and the anointing on your life. When they keep hearing others, they will say, then they will start believing small, small. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, blessed is she that believes. For there shall be, Luke 1:45, a performance of those things which were spoken to her from the Lord. The moment Abraham believed those prophetic words that the Lord told him, initially he laughed, but the moment he believed, Isaac was born. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Okay, let's see it. Romans 4:17. Watch this. Romans 4:17. Because the promise concerning the birth of Isaac came as a prophetic word. It required the partnership of Abraham's faith to birth that prophecy into manifestation. He said, as it is written, I've made thee a father. This is God speaking. I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Even God, who quickeneth or gives life to the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So faith calls things that be not as though they were. Next verse, verse 18. Look at this. Concerning Abraham, he said, who against hope? That's the natural hope of childbirth. Who against hope believed in hope? The second hope that he believed in is a supernatural hope that the word of God that came to him gave him. I seen this. The word of God gives you a picture of hope. So there was natural hope of childbirth. Then there is supernatural hope that God's word gave him, that a father of many nations have made thee. Watch this. Who against hope believe in hope, that he might become what? The father of what? Many nations. You see that? Abraham needed to fight the good fight of faith. He needed to fight the good fight of faith. The moment he partnered with God, Isaac was born. Am I communicating? According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And Isaac is the natural seed of Abraham. Christ is the spiritual seed of Abraham. And Christ has a head called Jesus. Christ has a body called the church. Am I communicating? Next verse, verse 19. He said, and being not weak in faith, you see, he considered not his own body now dead. You see, anytime you consider the odds against you, anytime you consider the negative circumstances, anytime you consider the adversities and all of that, your faith will become weaker and weaker, weaker and weaker. Anytime you consider anything else outside of God and his word, your faith becomes weaker. You are considering the problem, the trouble, instead of considering God's word. Your faith will be weakening, weakening. But Abraham was not weak in faith because he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Two dead situations. Abraham was, Sarah's womb was dead, atrophic, menopause times two. Next verse. Watch this. Faith has resurrection power. Glory to God. Verse 20. Verse 20. It staggered not at the promise of God. You see that? True unbelief. In other words, unbelief causes you to stagger. Unbelief causes you to stagger. It staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Can you shout amen? 21. So strong faith gives God the glory. How? Through joyful praise. And being fully persuaded. One of the characteristics of faith is that faith is fully persuaded concerning the promises of God, concerning the word of God, concerning that prophetic word. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. With God, all things are possible. Two things that must be in place for your faith to work. Number one, you must be fully persuaded about God's ability. Number two, you must be fully persuaded about his willingness. Willingness. For some people, the question is not, can God do it? The question is, will he do it for me? That is where they have problem. They don't truly believe that is the will of God. They don't believe God will do it for them. For your faith to work, you must believe that God can do it, one, he has ability. You must be persuaded in his ability. Number two, you must be fully persuaded concerning his willingness. His willingness to use his power for your benefit. His willingness to lavish his goodness on you. His willingness to shower you with abundant blessings and favor. Nothing is too good for you. Say with me, nothing is too good for me. No amount of blessings. You see, God is a God of excess of everything. You know, some people feel guilty when God starts favoring them. They start feeling guilty when God starts blessing them with money. Is it poverty you want? I bet the next time God bless you, if you don't want it, bring it for me. I will add it to my own. Don't feel guilty. That's God's nature. That's the life we've been called to live. He said, I have come that they may have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. Am I communicating? Never apologize to live the good life. Never apologize. Don't be apologetic about it. Hallelujah. Now, when we say faith, faith involves believing with your heart and then corresponding action, okay? Believing plus corresponding action. I just simplified the equation of faith. Glory to God. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You believe with your heart. Here, you are fully persuaded. So, partnering with God in faith to birth prophecies into manifestation involves believing those prophetic words wholeheartedly. Okay? Here, you are fully persuaded. Praise God. You are fully persuaded. You are fully persuaded. And then you are completely convinced. No doubt. Beyond every iota of doubt, you are completely convinced. Praise God. I say, praise God. No doubt, no unbelief. Can you remember in 2 Kings 7, verse 1, during biting famine, terrible famine and economic recession, Prophet Elisha stood up and said, by this time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour, he gave a prophetic word, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Then verse 2, the Bible says, I want to show you example of doubters, those that doubted prophetic words, and see how they ended. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God. Can you imagine? Prophets are talking, professors are answering. He answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, and that was what God was about to do. When the windows of heaven open, there is a heavy downpour. Am I communicating? He said, if God will make windows of heaven, the man is attacking the very thing God wants to do to end the famine. He said, might this thing be? Can you see doubt speaking, unbelief talking? And he, Prophet Elisha, said, behold, thou shalt see it with your eyes, but you will not, what? You will not eat thereof. And in verse 18, that was what happened. The king appointed that lord to be in charge of the gate. When the news came to hungry people that there is abundant food, excess food, excess supplies, surplus supplies in the camp of the Syrians. Remember, the Syrians had fled. They left all their tent. So people were jumping, hey, out of excitement. Let's go and chop. Then they trampled that man at the gate. This lord, he died. Doubters die without seeing and partaking. The man died because he doubted the prophetic word. He didn't partake of it. Glory to God. Another example of somebody that doubted in unbelief prophetic word was Zechariah. Give me Luke 1:30. Zechariah the priest. So you can even be a man of God and not be a person of faith. You can listen to what I'm saying. It's very important. This was a priest. Remember, he was a priest. Watch this. It says, but The angel of the Lord said to him, "Fear not, Zechariah." Okay, the angel appeared to him on the right hand side of the at the altar of incense. When he entered, it was his turn to burn incense. Watch this. He was a priest. He said, "For thy prayer is heard." See, the angel came with the answer to his prayer. He has been praying for a child. Him and his wife, Elizabeth, they are old and well stricken in age, but they were barren, no children. They've been praying for children for years. And unconsciously, doubt and unbelief have crept in. I've told you before, sometimes when people have suffered with a particular condition for long, unconsciously, doubt and unbelief starts creeping in their heart. That was what has happened to him. The appointed time has come for answer to land. Next verse. Okay, no. Give me 13. I want to bring out something. He said, "For thy prayer," he said, "and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John." Next verse. The angel even told him the name he should name the child. He said, "Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Next verse. "And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Number 16. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." The angel prophesied his prophetic destiny. That's John the Baptist. 17. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Verse next. "And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in age." Next verse. "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel." He started introducing his rank in the spirit. A high ranking angel. "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, to show thee this glad tidings." Okay? Next verse. He said, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb." Can you see the reward of doubting and unbelief? "Thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words." Did you see that? Why was he struck dumb? He didn't believe those prophetic words the angel came to speak. He was sent, Angel Gabriel was sent by God, but he didn't believe them. "Which shall be fulfilled in their season." Now, ask yourself, why didn't God leave him? Why didn't Angel Gabriel leave him? Why did he strike him blind? Why dumb? Why didn't he paralyze him? Why didn't he make him to go deaf or go blind? Why dump? Let's talk now. Who knows? Feel free. Okay, they say Nigerians, when you remove money, they were serious. Correct answer, cash and carry. Plenty answer up. Okay, let me pick her. Yes. Yes. So if negativity comes out of his mouth, what will happen? Yes, come and collect your money. That's to tell you the power of words. God knows that this man, Zechariah, he will be speaking unbelief. He will be speaking in doubt and speaking unbelief, and his negative words of doubt and unbelief will what? Hinder the fulfillment of that prophetic word. You see why it's dangerous to be talking negative. Now, you have heard this is our year of abundance, but look at you, at home. What do you say? Outside church, that is where we know the real deal. Your confession inside church is good, though, but I don't use that one to measure you. I check the one. In fact, if you want to really know people's maturity, find out how they speak when they are under pressure. Financial pressure, all manner of pressure. When problems, serious problems hit them, watch how they handle it. Watch the things they say. Watch what they do. It will tell you where to rate the person. Because you can't fake it. If it is not there, it's not there. If it's there, it will show. Am I communicating? When you are under pressure, it's what you are made up of that you manifest. If you are a person of faith, we will hear it in your words. God needed to shut his mouth so that with his mouth, he will not spoil prophecy. He won't frustrate it and hinder it from coming to pass. But later, during the naming, the moment he wrote the name, because he could not talk, they say, ask the father. They wanted to give him his grandfather's name or the name of somebody from his village. Then they say, ask the father. The father said, bring pen and paper, a slate. He wrote John, because that was the name the angel told him. The moment he wrote it, his mouth was loose. Are you seeing this? Tell your neighbor, don't use your mouth through negative confession to sabotage your prophetic destiny. So the equation of faith is that you believe with your heart, you are fully persuaded, completely convinced, then you follow it up with corresponding action. The corresponding action is in two forms: your confession, the words you speak, and your deeds of obedience. Am I communicating? Words and deeds, they are the two expressions of that corresponding action. When you are in faith, you will speak accordingly, and you will what? Deeds. You will do something. The Bible says, by faith, Noah was warned. God gave him a prophecy concerning the flood that will destroy the world. The Bible says, him being moved by godly reference, he made an act. Listen, faith in your heart will move you to do something. Faith in your heart will move you to say something and do something. Are you seeing this? The woman with the issue of blood, for she came behind the press, for she had said, if I may but touch. So she released her faith through her words and then action. She came behind the press as weak as she was, and she touched, and there was a flow of power and the fountain of blood stanched. Glory to God. Are you learning something? So, believing is not enough. It must be followed up by spirit-inspired corresponding action. So, you boldly declare, for he has said, that we may boldly say. Learn to prophesy with the prophets. For instance, watch this. If prophetic words are spoken over my life, I record them, if I can, or I write them, anyone, or I do both, then I will carry those words every time I pray, anytime I move around, even not, it's not limited to times of prayer. Every now and then, I carry those prophetic words and I start declaring them over my life. What am I doing? I'm prophesying with the prophet. Remember in 1 Samuel 10, 5 to 6, Prophet Samuel, after he anointed Saul king over Israel, he said, as soon as you are gone from me, he told him some events, and then he said, when you get to the hill of God, the garrison of the Philistine, you will meet a company of prophets coming from a high place, and they will be playing musical instruments. Okay, good music, anointed music is very important for prophetic ministry. Okay, it's one of those aids. Okay, he says they will be playing music, instrument, and all of that, because it helps to activate the prophetic anointing. He says it shall come to pass, the Spirit of God will come upon you, you will prophesy with them. So you learn to prophesy with the prophets. What does it mean to prophesy with the prophets in this context of my teaching? It simply means declaring those same prophetic words that the prophet or man of God spoke over your life, you carry them and start prophesying them over your life until you see their manifestation. You don't stop speaking. Am I communicating? Regardless of the challenges and problems you are going through, you keep declaring them. For instance, prophetic word has gone for this, our year of abundance, and then you are in lack. Lack is tearing you in the face. You are looking for money. Your account is 250 kobo. Challenges here and there. What do you do? Complain about the problem. It will become worse. You don't change things like that. So what do? You carry that same word. You insist. There has to be a continual insistence. You look at your account balance, say, in the name of Jesus, this is my year of abundance. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I declare abundant money, excess money, too much money. Are you getting me? Look for words that resonate with your spirit. In the name of Jesus, I command excess without stress, surplus supernatural supplies. Are you getting me? Irrespective of what your eyes is seeing in the physical, faith calleth things that be not as though they were. Am I communicating? You keep insisting. And guess what? As you are speaking, the realm of the spirit will start moving in your favor. Angels now have what to work with. You know, angels work with those words you are speaking. You give them assignment. They start influencing things in the natural, things in the spiritual realm. They start commanding and compelling spiritual and natural forces to favor you. They start putting thoughts of you in people's heart for them to bless you. Am I communicating? Destiny helpers start rising for you. Circumstances start shifting in your favor. Opportunities are created. If you say nothing, you see nothing. Very important principle here. Glory to God. It is a prophetic word that you truly believe wholeheartedly that you are empowered supernaturally to become in manifestation. John 1:12. He said, as many that believed him, to them he gave the power. As many that received them, to them he gave what? Power to become. When you receive those prophetic words in faith, you are supernaturally empowered to become them in manifestation. Hallelujah. Without the partnership of faith, there can be no performance of prophecies in your life. You must fight the good fight of faith to see the manifestations of prophecies in the earth realm. If you want to see their corresponding materialization, it will require the partnership of faith. Glory to God. In Luke 1:30, do you know when the same angel Gabriel, you know, angel Gabriel was sent to two people. First, to who? Zechariah, to announce, to prophesy the birth of John the Baptist. The second person he was sent to was who? Mary. Mary. Now watch this. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Next verse. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Next verse. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. Hallelujah. Next verse. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Next verse. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Next verse. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Okay, watch this. She was asking, how shall this be? This is not a statement of doubt and unbelief like that of Zechariah. She was only asking for explanation. Okay, he said the Holy Ghost. This was the explanation angel Gabriel gave her. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which thou shalt be, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of the Highest. Next verse. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. 38. Watch this. Watch this. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That was her faith speaking. She believed those prophetic words that angel Gabriel gave her concerning the supernatural birth of Jesus, and she confessed accordingly. Be it unto me, rise to your feet, according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Ayagabalagada. You know why the angel departed? Because the job is done. Equation completed. It required the partnership of faith. Even though it was an angel that appeared, Mary still needed to partner in faith. Are you seeing this? Say with me, I receive grace to grow and build my faith. Now, the second key is prayer. We'll look at that tomorrow. There are other keys, though. Prayer and all the other keys. Tomorrow I'll complete this teaching. And then
we believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glowing generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sandon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.